Wednesday, April 11th, 2018. Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant, independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. Since last night, the internet has been abuzz with speculation, everyone trying to be the first to announce that the U.S. might be possibly considering thinking about an attack on Syria. We've seen reports of the U.S., quote, being in the process of building a new coalition of allies to participate in a multi-nation strike force attack on the Syrian government, to Trump actually challenging Russia to get ready to shoot down missiles fired at Syria, even reports claiming that nuclear subs are on their way to Syria, which has actually been confirmed by one report. And even one step further, some are theorizing how Trump's strikes on Syria would affect his base, as if this was a foregone conclusion. All the talk today is of the impending U.S. strikes on Syria, largely stemming from Trump's inflammatory tweets, and they were likely meant to do just this. So what happened to Trump not ever wanting to tip his hand or announce their actions before they take them? This just seems off to me. So again, I ask, what else is happening? Is this meant to make us forget about the blatant and now verifiable lies that were perpetuated around the Skripal case that has seemingly disappeared from the mainstream media news cycle? All the tough rhetoric and calls for action? Literally, one could transpose this recent alleged attack on Syria with the Skripal poisoning from weeks ago and not miss a beat. The same cries for action, the same claims of certainty, the same rush to take action, yet we now know that was all fabrication, which is why the lapdog mainstream media dutifully dropped the story instead of doing its job and speaking truth to power and calling them on their obvious lies and warmongering. Yet here we are with the same thing happening in Syria, and we're on the edge of actual military action, or more so considering that Israel already attacked, which was, by the way, a Syrian base whose sole purpose was directed at fighting ISIS. Odd how that was the target for Israel. But maybe this is all to eclipse the gross violation of our privacy by these government-run social media outlets, or the fact that Zuckerberg was allowed to lie through his teeth in front of Congress, which is called perjury, by the way, and it's a federal crime, yet we see how that works when applied to powerful people, as Clapper was allowed to even walk away after apologizing for it. Or maybe this is meant to eclipse how Zuckerberg was not in any way held accountable for what is openly regarded as an obvious breach of trust and an outright criminal action. Or maybe all this is designed to finally put behind us this hazy idea of some memo that was supposed to change everything, or that the FBI is wildly corrupt and was proven to be so and repeatedly fails to do its job where it counts, raising the questions of whether they create and possibly allow certain tragedies to occur. Or what about the fact that the U.S. is becoming an authoritarian's wet dream as the border becomes militarized? Which, by the way, is a direct violation of the Posse Comitatus Act of 1878. But what does the Constitution matter? I find it quite ironic that most of Trump's base are these self-described uber-Americans, yet they fail to see his very actions continue to contradict and further dissolve the Constitution. Clearly, there are many things this whole flimsy story is eclipsing, but I digress. Now even some U.S. allies are pulling back a bit in this case, where the U.K. is now seemingly advising that more investigation be done, and Turkey is saying that a U.S. strike on Syria could, quote, set the entire Middle East on fire. So it's very interesting. But despite all of this, the U.S. is moving its forces into position for attacks, and oddly, Theresa May is doing the same with her subs, seemingly contradicting her own calls for caution. And as one site actually pointed out, any airstrikes carried out would ultimately destroy any evidence of a chemical attack, or lack thereof, which might be the point. And for the first article, with the most recent update coming from ZeroHedge.com, Trump will make decision on Syria strike tonight, quoted by Bloomberg. Bloomberg reports that Trump will decide tonight whether to strike Syria, but the timing and execution is undetermined. Minutes after Defense Secretary James Mattis, Joint Chiefs of Staff Chairman Joseph Dunford arrived at the White House to meet with President Trump, Bloomberg News reporter Jennifer Jacobs reported that despite Trump's belligerent tweets from earlier in the day, his administration is still weighing options for military action in Syria, and no military strikes are expected to be announced on Wednesday, you know, to the cries of all the people trying to claim they knew what was happening last night. As the author points out, the delay should not come as a surprise, considering only today the U.S. deployed the USS Truman Carrier Strike Group and 7 warships for Syria. The crossing of the Atlantic will take at least a couple of weeks, and earlier today the Pentagon said that the ships will reach its target in mid-May. So again, very interesting to see all these claims of imminent attacks last night when clearly we have to wait all this time for them to even get there. Ironically, as the U.S. hesitates, UK Prime Minister Theresa May, still angry over embarrassing disclosures that it jumped to conclusions when blaming Russia for the nerve agent attack on the Skripals, which we discussed earlier, she's also decided to act on Syria without the approval of Parliament, which is very interesting. Again, I find this weird contradiction where she claims we need to wait for more information and more investigation, yet she's now jumping over Parliament and sending her subs anyway. It's interesting. And it's interesting to see the overzealous reports of these impending attacks overnight. Yet here we are, stuck in reality. But nonetheless, this entire case is just continuing to steamroll. Like we've said yesterday, it seems like everything is pushing in this direction. So many reports and different things happening where people are just jumping past the evidence stage. Now, even as I say that, I'm thinking, well, it seems like a lot of people are questioning this, and that's good. But that may be in this independent media bubble to some degree. But I think there are a lot of people that are still eating up the mainstream media news, but we did see some interesting reports on Fox, but I think largely most mainstream media, including Fox, is completely cheering for Syrian war here, ultimately. But this whole story is baseless at this point. And again, I hate to continue pointing out the same things, but how can we continue to trust these words, first of all, from the White Helmets, knowing their past, knowing who funds them, knowing they've been caught in lies before numerous times, as well as the fact that the U.S. claiming to trust that, knowing that they have made up lies over and over and over in this exact same case? Not only transposing the Skripal case, but you can take from 2013 on and on and on every single case where they've claimed Assad's used chemical weapons, again, where we've said that Mattis admitted they had no evidence. It's like we can literally transpose every single case right over the top of this one, and it's identical. The same claims, the same calls for action, the same lack of evidence. It just it boggles the mind how we can continue to see this, and yet we actually see military action taking place. I mean, this is getting very, very dangerous. And I ask the question is if we're, I mean, I think we know the answer, but are we even involved in this process? I mean, we clearly see that there's not enough evidence, but it almost doesn't seem to matter anymore. And that's pretty alarming. I think that's what needs to stand out to all of us is that everything's just moving forward and, you know, no one seems to, I mean, forget the fact that it's a completely illegal war in the first place and that the occupation of Syria is illegal from both an international and national standpoint, but who cares, right? I mean, it doesn't even seem to matter anymore. This is just all going way out of control, but it's always important to try to draw the attention to these things. That's why we do this show, to make sure maybe one more person will wake up to the fact that they're being lied to. Hopefully. Moving on to the next story, also coming from ZeroHedge.com, Putin urges Israel not to take action in Syria. Israel vows to, quote, wipe Assad off the map if Iran launches an attack from Syrian territory. Even says that if they even sense that Iran is taking action, that they will essentially wipe Assad off the map, and they're quoted in saying that. And in a recent phone call with Putin, in Netanyahu and Putin, he urges him not to act. And ultimately, it fell on deaf ears. Israel made the same claims. And just this, to me, just point the reason I point this one out is the fact that Israel just seemingly is kind of like the scapegoat here, where they're the ones taking these actions. And I don't know why no one seems to call them out for this stuff, especially talking about Gaza. But again, we focused on that over the last few days, where clearly there's a contradiction there, where they're just murdering people with no regard and no one says a word. But this is interesting to see that he says this, because it's basically forewarning, saying, look, we're going to take action if we even think Iran is involved. And so they could just make that claim and fire off at Syria, and it seems like nobody would care because they haven't in the past. Very alarming context here, but I think at least now that Russia has reached out to Israel and said, you know, stop, don't do this, there's something there. So maybe they'll pump on the brakes in fear that Russia might take action. It's an interesting case, but I think it's worthy of noting on. Moving on to the next story, there wasn't a single corpse. Russia claims White Helmets staged Syria chemical attack. Russia claims that the reported chemical attack in Syria last Sunday was staged by the White Helmets, a U.S.-funded NGO lauded by mainstream media for their humanitarian work, while long suspected and proven of performing less than humanitarian deeds behind the curtain. Speaking with Euronews, Russia's ambassador to the EU said, quote, Russian military specialists have visited this region, walked on those streets, entered those houses, talked to local doctors, and visited the only functioning hospital in Douma, including its basement, where reportedly the mountains of corpses were piling up. Yet there's not a single corpse and not one single person who came in for treatment after the supposed attack. Euronews responds by saying, but we've seen them on video. To which the Russian ambassador responds, there was no chemical chemical attack and download, pure and simple. We've seen another staged event. There are personnel specifically trained, and you can guess by whom, amongst the so-called white helmets who are already caught in the act with staged videos. I mean, that's, again, a redundant point here, but that's, I feel like we have to be aware that all of this stems from the white helmets. We've seen them disproven and debunked so many different times, from their false claims of the mannequin challenge where they were caught staging supposed attack, and on and on and on. Again, I'll leave it in the show notes, all this information. I obviously direct you to people like Eva Bartlett and Vanessa Beely, who just absolutely demolished these claims and have been there and shown you what's actually going on and talked to the Syrians and how they openly say that they're not who they claim to be. But again, the point is that it all stems from them. And now Russia's saying to have actually been on the ground and walked through here and seen nothing. None of the claims they're making, none of the bodies, no evidence of any kind of attack. And that's a huge claim, but that goes past false flag into a complete hoax. And I know that's a touchy word for YouTube today, but the point is that they're claiming this entire thing was made up and staged to give them the reason to, whether or not the U.S. was aware of it or not, to bring U.S. back into Syria. I ultimately think that was the case. I think this was an entire orchestrated event where now they hit, the claims of wanting to pull out of Syria was all nonsense, really just to give his base something to be like, hooray, he's doing what we asked. And at the end of the day, they never planned to leave in the first place, especially knowing that John Bolton's right on his hip now, pushing for all of this and to basically take over the world at this point. But it's very clear what's happening here. But again, I always caution that we should not trust the word blindly of any government official or any government for that matter, Russia, United States, anybody. But this is backed up by evidence here. We've seen this. We've talked about the white helmets. Now, again, I know people are probably even tired at this point of hearing about this entire case, but these things are very important to talk about. This story in particular, claiming that they've seen no bodies like they've claimed there were, no evidence of an attack. This entire story is important to continue to make clear for people who are being blindsided by all this mainstream propaganda. And literally, mainstream outlets openly calling for war, like calling for attacks on Syria, despite the fact that there's civilians there. That never seems to be an issue when they're the ones attacking civilians. But anyway, this story is important to touch on, but I'm sure everyone's getting tired of hearing about it. But I'm going to continue to follow up on what's going on here because it's going to dominate the headlines. But there's plenty of other important things going on. Moving on to the next story coming from collectiveevolution.com. Zuckerberg denies that Facebook uses your phone's microphone to spy on you. Now, I mean, that's a bold claim, especially with all that we know, all that we've seen verified, the many, many reports coming out showing you literally what's happening. I mean, most of these are anecdotal that I'm about to describe, but these things are happening. You could see thousands of reports on these online where even the congressman in these hearings twice actually asked him similar questions about basically you'll be walking somewhere and you'll be talking about a specific topic. And next thing you know, you look down and that very specific thing will be advertised on Facebook. So, I mean, coincidence maybe once, possibly, but all the time that when you're talking about something amongst friends and your phone's sitting there and all of a sudden that's the first ad you see, that there's no way to describe that other than the fact that your microphone is being used for advertising. I mean, maybe he's kind of sidestepping this by claiming that he's not spying on you, but it's being used for advertising. I mean, that's how these things tend to work. But I think we all are damn well clear on the fact that they are spying on you. And I would even take it one further and say that it has nothing to do with advertising or Facebook. It has to do with the government behind it wanting to catalog everything we're doing. And I think that's pretty damn clear. I mean, how long have we known about the NSA spying? We pretend like that story is in the past, but they've even come out down the line and said, look, regardless of what you say, we're going to continue to spy on you. There's many times this has been discussed. We just have to begin to see that this is very clearly happening. So I argue the fact that I don't understand why Zuckerberg is not getting in trouble for basically perjuring himself in front of Congress. But the article goes on to ask a good question. Does he even have to tell the truth in this regard? And they argue no. We've seen this many, many times. I made the reference to Clapper in the very beginning. He twice perjured himself in front of Congress claiming the NSA wasn't spying on you. And then we clearly found out that he was. There are so many examples of these people in positions of power getting up and bold-faced lying about things they're asked. And then we quickly find out that it is true. I mean, if this happened to any one of us, I mean, God forbid, we would be in jail immediately. So it just shows you that a person in position of power gets away with these things without batting an eye. I mean, it's very frustrating to see this continue. But again, I referenced Facebook yesterday in regard to this hearing. I mean, it's just a big show of nothing. I mean, it was almost as if I mean, there were some good questions. I got to give them credit where credit's due. There were some good questions that called out the privacy issue, but it never ultimately came down to the fact that, like, you know, is he going to be held accountable for what we already know happened? I mean, some of these things are not disputed. We know that there were violations of privacy against the law ultimately. And it's never even a question of, is he going to be held accountable? It's basically like, how are you going to fix this? How are you going to move forward and change this? Or can we address that it's happening? It's none of it is about, is he going to be held legally accountable? Which is the entire point. I mean, these kind of people just slip by these things and never get held accountable. That's obviously an overarching long point that I always make, that these people are never held accountable. Perfect example right here. But I mean, if you want to tough out the entire 2-day hearing and watch all the information, it's frustrating to see. It's kind of funny in a lot of ways. I pointed out yesterday that half of these people, these congressmen, have no idea what they're talking about in regard to Facebook. So one of these articles made a joke about the fact that they said, oh no, I don't mean real cookies, right? I mean, they don't understand what these things actually mean. And yet they're the ones supposedly holding him to task. It's a big joke. But we'll probably see it play out just like this. But the fact that he can get up there and lie about these kind of things, that they're not spying on you. Titus Frost did a great video of it recently that I'll include in the show notes, calling him out on plenty of different lies. I mean, it's on and on. But that's the ultimate point. The ultimate takeaway here is that they get away all the time, not only with just perjury, but committing these acts and never being held accountable for them. Moving on to the final story of the day, JP Morgan busted over Bitcoin fraud. Seriously, Jamie Dimon has come a long way in 7 months, from Bitcoin is a fraud in September to busted for Bitcoin fraud in April. It's been reported that JP Morgan Chase & Company has been hit with a lawsuit in Manhattan federal court, accusing it of charging surprise fees when it stopped letting customers buy cryptocurrency with credit cards in late January and began treating the purchases as cash advances. The lawsuit accuses Chase of violating the U.S. Truth and Lending Act, which requires credit card issuers to notify customers in writing of any significant change in charges or terms. Simply put, the bank switched from charging regular interest rates to charging higher cash advance rates on purchases of cryptocurrency without notice to its customers about the change. Now, I find this incredibly interesting, incredibly humorous, the fact that just the way this all turned out. But I mean, right off the bat, I find it incredibly revealing that we talked about this when it first happened, how they stopped allowing you to use your credit card to buy things, which is absolutely wild when you think about that. I mean, it is a debt-based idea, but this was happening with banks too, where they weren't allowing you to use your own money to buy cryptocurrency. It reveals a larger agenda at play here. But this, I think there's so much behind all this. We've seen people like Buffett and some of these other people that have been calling out cryptocurrency now all of a sudden getting involved, the Rothschilds, all different kinds of people that seemingly have kind of pumped the brakes, tried to stop it. Now clearly they can tell that it's not going to be stopped, and now they're going to start to get involved. It's very revealing. As I've said from the very beginning, this is neither inherently good or bad. It's about how we use it, just like the internet. And it's about how we put our money in the right ones. Blockchain technology is the future of so many different things, not just currency. And that's where we have to see this going. And they clearly recognize that. I think they're still going to try to stop it where they can, and or rather create artificial drops so they can jump in and buy everything up and make money, which they do in all of these regards. But so many of the claims around this are just false. I mean, the idea that it was a fraud in the first place, I mean, so many different things. But I like seeing this kind of story because it's kind of comical, kind of, you know, it's ironic, and it's good to see them get what they deserve. But ultimately, it comes down to the fact that this is not something that it can be abused. And I think it very well is being abused right now. But it's about how we use it. It's all about us and the way that we put our money in the right ones. But again, all of this today just ultimately comes to show you that we're being misled in so many different ways, more ways than we can possibly count today. So we need to stand back in all of these things, whether it's foreign policy, finance, domestic policy, anything. We need to stand back and begin to use critical thinking here and stop allowing them to lead us by the nose because, you know, it's the channel you trust, or, you know, whatever idea is leading you in that direction. You need to stand back, as I always say, and question everything that comes across your table, including from me. Anybody. I mean, I pointed out yesterday the idea of the Tucker Carlson video that I thought was very well done. And as I suspected, plenty of people came out calling me out for, like, oh, I'm a shill or whatever for Fox, or I'm, you know, whatever they tried to say. But the point is that I've simply addressed the facts at hand. and it was a good, it was a well done video. And that the point there is that we don't dismiss anything and we don't trust anything outright. We stand back, we do our due diligence every single time. That has to stick with us. For more information on the topics discussed, make sure you check thelastamericanvagabond.com or any of the important independent sources in the show notes below. And as always, as I just said, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.